With regard to a shutuf, a partner who engages in misconduct, who deviates from his instructions, deviates from prevailing custom, who's reckless or negligent, we find four doctrines in Shas and Poskim that discuss his liability, why he's liable, and exactly under what circumstances he's liable. They are shinui, deviation, pshia, negligence, hezek, causing injury, and halva, the idea that he becomes a loveh, he becomes a borrower of the partnership property, and he's liable until he returns it. In this share, we discuss the details of these four doctrines, their four overlapping doctrines. We discuss when they apply and when they do not apply. The doctrine of shinui appears in a Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara says, the Gemara brings two brises regarding a mishaleach. The Gemara is discussing a shliach and a mishaleach, similar rules hold between partners. The Gemara says a mishaleach sends a shliach with money to buy chitim, to buy wheat. Instead, he buys seorim. He deviates from his instructions. He buys barley, or vice versa. He sends him for seorim, and he buys chitim. One brisa says, im pichsu pichsu lo, im osiru osiru lo. If there's upside or downside, that is entirely that accrues entirely to the agent. And the other brisa says, im pichsu pichsu lo, the downside is borne entirely by him, but im osiru osiru lamsa. But if there's upside, then it's split between him and the mishaleach according to the original terms of their arrangement. So we have a stira and two brises. So the Gemara brings a couple of approaches. The first approach, the one that we accept, lahalacha, is that it's a machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, shinui kona. When the shliach deviates from his instructions, he's kona the property that he bought, the wheat or the barley, and therefore all upside and downside goes to him. And because he was Mishana, so he's Kona, and everything that happens from now on is on his account. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shinui ain't a Kona. Shinui is not Kona, and therefore upside has to be split with the Mishaleach as per the initial arrangement. If there's downside, even though Shinui ain't a Kona, if there's downside, he solely bears that downside, the loss. Why? The Gemara doesn't really explain. Rashi says, Mishaleach can say, I sent you to act correctly, not to act incorrectly. Tosis uses the word pshia, negligence. In any event, that's the brisa that we paskin like, that in pichsu, pichsu lo, he bears the downside exclusively. In mosiru, osiru, lemza. There's a major machlokes achronim, though, beginning with the Gedolei Asfardim of the 16th century, going on down through the generations. What exactly the Gemara means when it says pichsu, pichsu lo. Some Achronim learn the Mabit, and the Shach, and the Beit Shmuel Achron, that Pichsu Lo only refers to business losses. He tried to sell the Seorim, and he couldn't get the price he anticipated, so they lost money. Those types of losses, which are a result of his decision to buy the wrong thing, those losses are borne entirely by him. That's his fault, and he bears that loss. He's penalized by that. But other types of losses, Ones, if something went wrong, they encountered some type of accident, pirates seized the cargo from the ship, or bandits seized the cargo from the caravan, had nothing to do with his decision. Whatever merchandise he would have bought would have been taken by the same pirates, would have been lost at sea in the same way, taken by the same bandits. So there's no causal connection between his shinui and the loss. So in that case, the Mabit and the Shach, that school of thought says that he's potter, because we don't pass him like Rabbi Meir. We don't say shinui kona. He's not kona. If there's a loss that he caused by buying the wrong merchandise, he's liable for that. But onsim that are independent of anything that he did, he's not liable for that, and pichsu lo does not extend to that case. Other achronim disagree. Other achronim, the Beis Yosef, the Marshach, the Tzos, and others disagree. They say pichsu lo is an absolute statement. He's liable for all types of losses that happen subsequent to his shinui, even if they are not causally related to the shinui. The Dovid Mesharim has an interesting compromise. He says, even according to the latter school of thought that says he's chayav for all types of losses, even if they're not consequences of what he did, that's only if he bought the wrong merchandise. So he's supposed to buy chitim, he bought seorim, so the seorim that he bought, Mishaleach can say, those are not my seorim, I didn't want you to buy seorim. So even though he still gets the profit, but with regard to loss, Mishaleach can say, those seorim, if they turns out that the money was lost on them, they're on your account, I never asked you to buy them, so I don't want to have any responsibility for them. But in a case where it's the same property that was the Mishaleach's all along, he didn't buy something he wasn't supposed to buy, he just mishandled it in some other way. He engaged in some kind of shinui with maybe what ship he put it on. He did something wrong with the property, which counts as maybe pshia, negligence, or shinui, as deviation, but he didn't buy something new. The property that he's dealing with is still undeniably the property of the mishaleach. In that case, the Dov Meisharim says, everyone will agree that the shliach does not have to bear a loss that was not consequent to what he did, because the whole reason for him bearing the loss is because, as we said, mishaleach can say, those seorim are not mine, those chitim are not mine. If something goes wrong, I can wash my hands of them. But here, it's undeniably his property, so if the loss was not a consequence of what the shliach did, of what the other partner did, then the mishaleach, then the other partner, will have to bear his share of the loss, and then l'kuli alma, the din of pifsu pifsu lo, will not apply. That's the doctrine of shinui. There's another principle of pshia, of negligence. We mentioned that Tosus actually mentions the word pshia when the Gemara says shinui, but the Sifrin Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shutfin, it says that partners are shomri sachar. Partners have the status of shomrim, of custodians vis-a-vis each other, not only ordinary shomer chinam, who's chayav in negligence, they're shomrei sachar, they have a higher standard of responsibility, they're chayav even in certain types of onsin, gneiv and aveda, theft and loss. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. There is some debate in the later achronim, the Shach and the Machne Ephraim, later achronim about, are shutfin really always shomrim? In certain cases, some posts can say the shutuf does not necessarily assume shmira. And in certain cases, the Ramah brings in certain cases where he volunteers to accept custodianship of the property outside the official partnership agreement. Maybe he's not a Shomer Sachar. But in general, the post can usually assume that Shutfin are considered Shomrim to each other. They have the responsibilities of Shomrim to each other, often a Shomer Sachar, at least a Shomer Chinam. And in general, Shutfin have responsibility as Shomrim that if they're negligent, or sometimes even if it's Gneva Baveda, they're going to be Chayef. But the Shulchan Aruch adds, there is one major exception to this rule, insofar as we're holding the Shutuf liable under the rules of Shmira. The rules of Shmira have one major exception, the rule of Shmira b'Ba'alam. The Torah says, Ba'alav en imo shalem yishalem, and Ba'alav imo lo yishalem. It's Xeris Akasuv. The way Chazal explained it, if the owner of the property was in the service, in the employ of the Shomer at the time of the commencement of the Shmira, then we say that's called Shmira b'Ba'alam, and the Shomer is Pater. It's Tegderes Akasuv, there's no obvious Hezber for this, but that's how we paskin, that Shmir B'Balam is Pater. There's Machlokas whether it applies to Pshia, we paskin it applies even to Pshia, that the Shomer is Pater even from gross negligence, if the owner of the property was Imo B'Malachto, at the time the Shmira began. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Shutfin will often be Shmir B'Balam. If the two Shutfin commenced their involvement with partnership property simultaneously in unison, then each one was working for the other when the other began the Shmira. So the Shmira of each one is Shmira B'Ba'alam, so each one will not be liable, neither one will be liable as a Shomer. Shulchan Aruch talks about a case where one started working before the other. The one who started working first then will not be Shmira B'Ba'alam because the other partner wasn't yet working for him. But when the second one started, the first one was already working for him, so that he will be Shmira B'Ba'alam. I'll call upon him. The basic rule is that there's one major exception to the Shomer liability of Shutfin, and that is if the circumstances of Shmir B'Ba'alam hold, then the Shutfin will not be liable as Shomrim, not for Gneiv and Aveda, and not even for Pshia. Now, there is a major Machlokes Achronim again here, whether this applies even in a case where the Shutuf actively causes some damage to the partnership property. He sells it on credit without taking cash. He takes it on a dangerous journey. He takes it on a ship ride, where a ship voyage where he shouldn't have gone. In a case where the Shutuf does something that actively endangers the partnership property, there is a major machlokas as to whether he will still be exempt under the exemption of Shmir B'Ba'al. A number of the Gedolei Achronim, the Radvaz, the Taras Emes, the Shav Yaakov, the Chasim Sofer, the Rav Pa'alam, Pizkachua brings a number of these Achronim who say that in such a case, there is no exemption of Shmir B'Ba'al. They explain, Shmir B'Ba'alim is a Ptur in Shmira. If the liability is because of Shomer, then there's no liability. However, if the liability is Mazik, if I throw a rock through somebody's window, I have no Ptur of Shmir B'Ba'alim, even if he was somehow Ba'al of Imo, there's no Ptur. The Ptur of Ba'al of Imo is a Ptur in Shomer. It has nothing to do with Mazik. So if the Shutuf's conduct rises to the level of Mazik, if he actively did something that caused harm to the Shutuf's property, to the other Shutuf's property, he's a Mazik. And someone who's a Mazik, a direct tortfeasor, has no exemption of Shmir B'Ba'alam. So a number of Gedolei Achronim argue that a Shutuf will not always be Pater because of Shmir B'Ba'alam, because here we have doctrine number three, the doctrine of Mazik, and when you're a Mazik, you have no Pter of Shmir B'Ba'alam. There is, however, possibly a dissenting view. There is an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchas Ishus about a woman who's doing housework. She's doing domestic work, and she breaks some of the kalim of the house, which belonged to the husband. So is she liable to the husband for the damage that she caused? So the Rambam and the Ravid both say no. They both say pater, patura. But they give different reasons. The Rambam says it's a takana, because if he could hold her liable, there would always be quarreling and there won't be shalom bayis. So there's a takana to hold her exempt. The Ravid says, no need for a takana, it's ikra din. She is not liable for breaking kalim because it is ba'alav ima. He is the owner of the kalim and he is ima b'malachta. She works for him, she has custody of his kalim of the house, but he's working for her because even though she's a shomeres for him, he's working for her, he attends to her needs, he sees to her needs, so he is ima b'malachta, and therefore it's shmir b'balam, so she's patura me'ikra din. Magid Mishnah learns that even the Rambam agrees to that. Even the Rambam agrees in principle she would be patura for shmir b'balam. The reason the Rambam didn't say that is because the Rambam says it's not really considered balavimo. He's not really at her beck and call all the time while he's attending to her needs. And then he's in her service, but he's not considered in her service 24/7. And therefore, the Rambam says this is not actually considered balavimo. But in principle, the Magid Mishnah apparently understands the Ravid is correct that there is a patura of balavimo here. And if the circumstances of Baal Avimo, if the criteria would be met, then there would be a patur for Baal Avimo. So the Mishnah Melech points out, she's a mazik. She broke his kalim. She's not just a shomer who was negligent. She broke the kalim. She was washing dishes and she dropped one and she smashed one. That's mazik. So the Ravid seems to be holding that even a mazik has a patur of shmir b'baal. Yet, that's very hard to swallow. The poskim generally assume that a mazik has no patur of shmir b'baal. So the Mishnah Melech makes an interesting distinction. He says we can distinguish between a case where the hezek is intentional, where the act was done intentionally, or where the hezek was accidental. Where the hezek was accidental, even though a person is still liable as a mazik, adam wood la'olam, when a person causes hezek, even if it's done intentionally, still chayev, since it wasn't intentional, that's where the Ravid and Magid Mishnah hold, and even the Rambam agrees according to the Magid Mishnah, that's where they hold, there's a patur of ba'al avimo. But hezek that is intentional, a shutev who deliberately decides to put merchandise on the wrong boat or buy the wrong merchandise, even though he meant well, he had a reason for it, it was done in good faith. Nevertheless, it's not an accident, he knew exactly what he did it deliberately. In such a case, the Mishnah Melech wants to distinguish there would be no p'tur of Baal Avimo. But in any event, we do have the Ravid. The Ravid does say that there is a p'tur of Baal Avimo, at least with regards to accidental hezek. The Beis Meir says it's distinction. He doesn't think it's the distinction is mistaver. But at the end of the day, there is the sheet of the Ravid and the Magid Mishnah, and the Magid Mishnah says even the Rambam would agree that in a case of Baal Avimo, there is a p'tur even from mazik, at the very least in the case where the hezek was not intentional. And some poskim say that the Ravid sheet is a valid sheet, a lalacha. The Beis Meir says, "Efshir, you can say kimli, that the nitva can say that I have the Ravid on my side and I don't have to pay." Rav Palam says that you can take kimli like the Ravid in particular because according to the Magid Mishnah, the Ram doesn't even disagree. So everyone agrees to the Ravid. So there is this one shita, despite the fact that many of the Gedolei Achronim say that there is no p'tur of Pshia B'Balam when it comes to Mazik, and when a Shutuf actively causes harm to partnership property, he's a Mazik, and then he'd be Chayav, even if it was Baal Avimo, there is the shita of the Ravid, which some poskim say has weight in Halacha, that there is a p'tur of Baal Avimo, even when it comes to someone whose actions constitute hezek. Additionally, the Ravid Shita supported, the Erech Shai points out, by a Shita of the Riva. The Riva says that the whole category of mazik does not apply to someone who has custody of someone's property, to a shomer, to someone who works for somebody else. When someone has authorized access to someone else's property, and he's negligent, we can hold him liable as a shomer for his negligence, but not as a mazik. Based on a Gemara in Bava Kamma, the Gemara talks about malpractice, a tabach, a shochet, who damages property by misconduct, and the Gemara talks about the rules of malpractice, and the Gemara analyzes them in terms of the rules of shomer. So the Rishonim discuss, or forget shomer, why does it depend on the different gradations of liability, of Ones Gomer and of Pshia? Why do we care about those types of criteria? He's a mazik, Adam Moed La'olam. So the Riva says that the whole concept of mazik does not apply to someone who has custody of someone else's assets, who's being osik in them, who's working, someone who's working, who's using them, who's handling them at the behest, with the authorization of the owner, he's acting on behalf of the owner, such a person is not considered a mazik at all, and we can only analyze his liability in terms of the laws of Shomer. So the Abenezer says that could be the sheet of the rabbit. The woman who's doing her domestic work, she is handling the household utensils on behalf of the husband. So according to the Rivah, there is no din mazik. And that's why this, not that the Ravid holds that there's a patur of Shmir B'Balam even with regard to Mazik, but that the Ravid holds, like the Riva, that when someone is handling someone else's property on his behalf, at his request, under his instructions, then there's no category of Mazik at all. There's only a question of Shomer, and Shomer is patur B'Balam. So once again, that would mean that a Shutuf, when the partner has custody of the partnership property on behalf of the other partners, and he's working for the partnership, again, according to this doctrine, there would be basis for holding him potter if there's a situation of Shmir B'Balim, despite the fact that his actions might constitute Hezek. There's also the Shita of the Rif. The Rif in a Tshuva rules that if a Shutuf extends credits improperly, he's potter, even though normally that's considered a Shinoi and a Pshia and he's Chayef for that, we pass in, but the Rif says, if it's Balavimo, the Rif says explicitly, then he is potter. Again, we just said, many poskim say that if you extend credit improperly, you're a mazik. You sold off the property without getting cash in hand for it. That should be hezek. You should be a mazik. So if you're a mazik, then why should there be any ptur of Baal Avimo? So Kipshuto, the Rif holds like the Ravid, that there's a ptur of Baal Avimo, even in a context of mazik, either because Baal Avimo applies to mazik, or because you're not a mazik if you're working on behalf of the owner of the property. But Dar Sameach is madcha. He says that we can distinguish between what exactly he did. In the Rif's case, he wants to say it was not really mazik. Either he suggests that the Rif was talking about a case where it was common to extend credit. The reason it's called a pshia is because he was instructed not to. He violated his instructions, but it wasn't objectively a bad thing to do, so that's only pshia, that's not called mazik. But in a case where it's objectively a bad thing to do, nobody extends credit in this context, then the Rif would agree that he's a mazik, and then he'd be chayav even Baal Avimo. Additionally, Dar Sameach suggests the Rif was talking about a case where extending credit was necessary. We're talking about a case where he bought too much merchandise to unload for cash, so he had no choice but to extend credit. So you can't call that a mazik. The pshia is because he shouldn't have bought so much merchandise. But again, we're not talking about a case where it's actually considered hezek, and that's why the Rif said potter. So according to Dar Sameach, again, the Rif is not necessarily on the side of the Rav, the Rif just held that in this particular case, in the particular case of the Rif at least, he held that it was not a case of mazik, it was a case of pshia, but Dar Sameach says the Iker certainly is, that in a case where the Shutuf engages in conduct which would be considered hezek, would be considered mazik mamish, then the Ikar lahalach is going to be that he's chayev and there is no ptur of shmir b'bal. The final doctrine for holding a Shutuf liable for misconduct is the idea of milva, that once the Shutuf deviates and buys the wrong thing, if the property then becomes his, it's considered his property until he returns it, until he settles his account with the other partners, and therefore he's liable for everything. It doesn't matter what happened. The Lechem Rav, the Tshuvas of Rabbi Avram Dibaton, the author of the Lechem Mishnah, Lechem Rav says this svara, followed by the Paruch Matei Aaron or Aaron Prachia, they say, this whole discussion of Pshia and of Bebailim, they say that all that is only relevant if the Mechayev is Shmira. A Shutuf who's Mishtane, who buys the wrong thing, he becomes a Love, Nasel of Milve, and of course he's Chayev, not because of Mazik like the other Achronim. He's not saying he's a mazik, he's saying he's a lova. He becomes a lova. Once he becomes a lova, of course there's no shmir b'balim. A borrower can't tell his creditor, Baal Avimo, I'm not paying you back the loan because Baal Avimo? Of course not. The whole discussion we had before was about a mazik. Maybe there are some who say Baal Avimo applies to a mazik. But surely nobody says Baal Avimo applies to a lova. So the Lechem Rav and the Paruch Matei Aaron, that school of thought, they maintain that someone who, a shutuf, who deviates, becomes a lova, and therefore there is certainly no ptur of Baal Avimo. And the truth is, the Ksos HaChoshen also invokes the doctrine of Milve to explain another halacha, not to explain that he's chayav, even if it's Baal Avimo. The Ksos says it, going back to the earlier machlokas between the Mabit and the Beis Yosef and the Shach, about whether a Shutuf who deviates, who's Mishana, and then an onus happens, it's lost at sea to bandits, and not machmas is pshia, not machmas is shino, it's not a consequence of what he did. So we said before, it's a great machlokas achronim, going back to the Gedolei Asfardim, in the time of in the 16th century. The Ksos says, of course you're chayev. The Shach is wrong. The Mabit is wrong. Of course you're chayev. He says, why? It's not a question of pshia, where the onus would have to be machmas the pshia. You're chayev because nasel of milva. The Ksos brings that some Rishonim use the language of nasel of milva. If it's nasel of milva, he says, of course you're chayev. The same way the Lechem Rav says, it doesn't make sense to talk about Baal Avimo If it's Nasal of Milvah, the Ketosin, it doesn't make sense to talk about whether the Hezek was Machmas what you did, not Machmas what you did, whether the Onus was Machmas or not Machmas. Doesn't matter. Nasal of Milvah. So of course you Chayev. You Chayev whatever happens until you return it. So the Ketos also accepts the doctrine of Nasal of Milvah. He accepts it, presumably, he says it with regard to a Hefzid that's not Machmas machinery, but he might say it like a Baal Avimo also in such a case that there'd be no Ketura Baal Avimo because Nasal of Milvah. Beis Shmuel Achron argues that we don't paskin this doctrine of Nasal of Milvah. He brings the Lechem Rav, he brings the Parak Mati Aaron. He says, Ladina, we don't paskin like this. Although his argument is a little hard to understand. He doesn't seem to distinguish between ordinary Pshia and active Shinui. He seems to assume that the Lechem Rav and the Parak Mati Aaron, the Achronim who invoke the notion of Nasal of Milvah, would say that even in a case of simple negligence, not just in a case where he bought the wrong thing, even if he was merely negligent, still, there's no Ptur of Shmir Babalim because Nasal of Milvah. Shulchan Aruch is not like that, he says. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the post can clearly paskin that there is a Ptur of Baal Avimo and Shutfin, and therefore that's not like the Lechem Rav. The Lechem Rav seems to distinguish between ordinary Pshia, which is what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, where there is a Ptur of Shmir Babalim, and a case of active Shinui, which is where we say Nasal of Milvah. But Beis Shmuel Achron doesn't distinguish. He says, according to the Lechem Rav, there would be no Ptur of Shmir Babalim at all, at least in the case of Pshia. Maybe in Gneva Aveda, he says, but at least in the case of Pshia, there would be no Ptur of Shmir Babalim because anytime you're Pasheya, you're automatically Nasal of Milveh, and yet the Rama is Nashma, that there is a Ptur of Shmir Babalim even with regard to Pshia. That means we don't accept, he says, Poskim, certainly for Bnei Ashkenaz, Ashimemeim and Ushosim, and we're Makabal to Paskin like them, the Rama, and the later Achronim, the Taz, and the Sma, and the Shach, who don't say anything. That means they don't hold Nasal of Milveh. Furthermore, he makes the same argument as the Ktsos in reverse. He says, the Shach Paskin is like the Mabit. That if a hefzid, if an onus happens to the partnership property, which is not a consequence of the shinui, it's not machmas shinui, the shach and mabitzei pater. If you hold nasal of milveh, then you should be chayev. The fact that the shach, who's gedolei ha'achronim, who's the gadol shev ha'achronim, says pater, that means the shach does not accept the doctrine of nasal of milveh. That sounds very logical, as we pointed out. That's exactly why the ktos rejects the shach. The ktos says that the shach is wrong, because since nasal of milveh, you are chayev for an onus that's not machmas the shinui. But Beishmol Achron turns that argument on its head and says that we pat the Iker Lahalacha, he says, is like the Shach, that you're not Chayef for an onus, it's not Machmas Abshia. And that means we don't accept the Lechem Rav and the Parak Mati Aaron's doctrine of Nasal Milveh. We don't accept it, and that's why the Halacha is like the Shach and the Mabit. That's why their Halacha is based on that we don't say Nasal Milveh. One final aspect of the discussion of the liability of a partner for misconduct. We just discussed how there are four doctrines, four overlapping, some of them are controversial, doctrines for holding the partner liable. One further discussion about the scope of the partner's liability revolves around a very problematic ruling of the Ramah. The Ramah's ruling is based on earlier poskim, but the Ramah says, a shutif who sells merchandise before he's supposed to, that generally partners would wait to sell the merchandise at a more advantageous time where they can hope to get more profit for it. One shutif sold earlier, unilaterally, without authorization, without sign-off from the other partners. So he's chayev, it's pshia, the Ramah says, and he's chayev to pay whatever anticipated revenue there was that wasn't realized, there would have been that wasn't realized because he sold off too early without the consent of his partners. So right now the merchandise is worth 100. Most partners, most businessmen would wait around for a month or two and sell it later in the right season where they expect to get 200 for it. So the shutif is liable for the missing 100. So many achronim ask, this halacha is very hard to understand. The halacha is a mazik or a gazlan, someone who steals someone's property, he damages someone's property. The fundamental rule is, kol hagazlanim mishalmim kishasek zeila, he pays what the property was worth at the time of his infraction, at the time of the zeila, at the time of the hezek. We don't say, well, he would have held on to it for another month and he would have sold it for twice as much, even if that's true. Even if that's likely, even if that's nearly a near certainty, at the end of the day, if the property was only worth 100 now, you only pay 100. We don't take into account how much it would have been worth if you held on to it for the expected amount of time and sold it later. That's the Iker Lahalacha. Kol HaGazlan Mishalmim Kishasek Zeila. So this partner who sold early, he shouldn't have done it, he's Pasheya. Let him be a Mazik, let him be a Gazlan. So he should pay what it's worth now. Right now, when he sold, it was only worth 100. So how can you possibly hold him liable for 200? It wasn't worth 200. Even a mazik or a gazel wouldn't pay 200. So why is the partner worse than a mazik or a gazel? So the Achronim give a variety of different explanations for to answer this question, all of them are somewhat problematic, or at the very least involve controversial shitas. We're going to mention here just two of which are very important, again, albeit controversial, but we'll mention just two approaches to this question, which have far-reaching consequences in Chosh and Mishpat. One is by the Nesivus HaMishpat. Nesivus HaMishpat says, based on a writ from Bav Metzia, there is a doctrine of arvus. Arvus, in the narrow sense, means guaranteeing a loan, co-signing. The Nesivus brings a ritva who expands that doctrine very much into what modern law calls reliance damages. If someone makes a commitment to someone else, the other person relies on it, has detrimental reliance, suffers some hefsid by relying on it. The ritva says, and the Nesivus explains, that he's chayav midin arev. The ritva says, zed din gadol. It's a very important rule in halacha. It explains numerous different halachas in Shas and Shulchan Aruch, that even though you didn't make any explicit commitment to be chayav for these reliance damages, there's an implicit din of arvus, that if you make a commitment and he relies on you and you know he's relying on you and he is nifsad, he suffers a loss based on this, you are chayav midin arev to make him whole for the loss that he suffered by relying on you. So the Nesivus says that's what's going on here as well, that the partners rely on each other to act correctly, to act in the best interest of the partnership. Yes, it's true, a ganav and a gazlan is only chayav kishas ekzela. But partners, in general, the Nesivus says, any two people who have a business relationship, a shliach and a mishaleach, and partners, employer and employees, all kinds of situations, different situations, the Ritva and the Nesivus say, where people rely on each other to act in accordance with their agreement, and one side doesn't, and the other side has a loss, he's chayev. And that loss is not a din mazik. That obligation is not a din mazik. It can be broader and more powerful than din mazik. Since here he relied on you to sell it at the right time and not to sell it prematurely, you are chayev for the loss that you caused him, even if as a mazik you wouldn't be chayev. The problem with this approach is that this is what the Ritva says, and the Nesivus, in numerous places in his Nesivus, accepts this Ritva as being lahalacha. Chasam Sofer also says he thinks all Rishonim agree with this Ritva. Many, many other Achronim, though, disagree. They say the Ritva is a Das Yachid. Come on, all Rishonim disagree with the Ritva, they say. There's a major machlokas of what the Rishonim actually hold. Many other Achronim say this Ritva is a very powerful Ritva, certainly. It's a very intriguing principle, but it's not lahalacha, many Achronim say. It's a major machlokas. Many Achronim deny that this Ritva is indeed normative. Another approach to this halacha, that a partner who sells early is chayev, in some ways a similar approach, is proposed by Rav Yehuda Shmuel Primo, in the father-in-law of the author of the Kunas Olam, printed in the Sefer Kunas Olam. He says that these types of pturim, that you're not chayev for future loss, it's mevatel kisa shel chavero potter. If you cause somebody to be unable to realize profit or revenue from his assets, you lock up his cow so he can't rent it out, he can't farm with it. So that's called mevatel kisa. You lock up his wallet so he can't use his money to do business and make money. The Yushalmi says that's how we paskin generally, mevatel kisa shel chavero potter. Post can call it a grumma. That you're a garim hefsid, that's not called real hefsid, and yes, in general, kol gazlan mishalma kishas hegzela, they're not chayev for these types of future anticipated revenues, even if they're likely or even a sure thing. However, it says Rav Primo, that, again, similar to the Nesivus, that only applies to two people who don't have an existing relationship. One of them just goes and unilaterally takes action that hurts the revenue-producing capabilities of the victim. Then we say rules, well, if it's mevatel kiso, you're not chayev, even if you cause him an actual loss, if it's grummer, you're not chayev. These rules, he says, do not apply to a shomer. Anytime someone has custody of someone's property, he's chayev even for grummer. Every pshia, he's the post can say, every pshia. What's pshia? What's negligence? You fail to lock the door, and the property is stolen. You're only a garib. You didn't steal it. The thief stole it. So a shomer is chayev for grummer. Says Rav Primo, many other poskim say this as well, that a shomer is chayev for a grumma. A shutif is a shomer, as we said earlier, and a shomer and a shutif are chayev even for bittel kiss, even for not just for loss of actual property, but even for loss of future anticipated revenue. And therefore, Rav Primo says it's true that a gazel wouldn't be chayev. It's true that a mazik wouldn't be chayev for the loss of anticipated revenue. But a shomer and a shutif is, a shomer and a shutif are chayev even for grumma. Now, it's true, many poskim do say, at least with regard to grumma, where you cause actual damage, even though it's indirect, many poskim say, not all poskim, but many poskim do say that a shomer and a shutif, therefore, where it's not ba'alavimo, would be chayev for grumma. That's true. That the second half of our primos chiddush, the one relevant to this ramah, that a shutif or a shomer is chayev even for bittel kiss, That's something which is less clear when it comes to shutfen as well. It's true there are many poskim who do say that a shutf is chayav even for grama. Most of them don't discuss bittul case specifically. They talk about other cases where a shutf is gar in the hezek. They talk about the reverse case where one shutf wanted to sell, the other shutf prevented him from selling, or the shliach prevented mishaleach from selling his property, and then the property went down. He was gar in the hefsid. That's with his actual hefsid. There again, many poskim say a shutf is chayav. Some poskim challenge that and say the shutf is potter for grama, a shomer is potter for grama. So at least with regard to grama, what Rav Primo says is probably the opinion of the majority of poskim, if not all poskim. With regard to bittul kis, however, that's much more of a chiddush. The idea that a shomer or a shutf should be chayav for bittul kis, even though mevatel kisur shel chaveru is potter, we actually paskin in hilchos shluchim that if you send a shliach to buy something and you anticipate flipping it and making a profit, and the shliach fails to do so, so you lose the opportunity to make that profit, you have terumas on the shliach, you have the right to be upset at him, but ein olav ela terumas, that you don't have a claim of money against him because you say mevatel kisur shel chaveru is potter. So Rav Primo's idea that a shutf is chayav for bittul kis is somewhat problematic. It seems like he held that where you sold the property early, there we look at the hefsid as if it's more than bittul kis, because it's like he actually had that hefsid, even though, again, a regular mazik would be potter, it's called bittul kis, a shutif is chayav. But if you just stopped him from buying merchandise that he wanted to buy, maybe he would agree that it's potter. At the end of the day, the Yerushalmi said the patur is bittul kis, and Rav Primo says that bittul kis doesn't apply to a shutif, or presumably not to a shliach either. So it's a little hard to understand how he can reconcile his shita with other places in halacha. I'll call upon him, that's his shita, that just like a shutif is chayav in grama, which is something that many Achronim agree to, so too is chayav even for bittul kis. Again, that's a great chiddush. Other Achronim have other ways of explaining the Ramah. At the end of the day, it's a difficult Ramah. The Ramah does say that the shutif who sells early is chayav for the loss of anticipated revenue, and the Achronim struggle to understand why. One approach is the Mesivas, based on the Ritva. The halacha recognizes reliance damages between people who have an existing relationship, and one of them makes a commitment. The other idea that we've discussed is Rav Primo, who says that a shutif is chayav for bittul kis. Again, that's a great chiddush, and it doesn't seem that most achronim would agree with that.